So we all know famously that there are 613 mitzvos in the Torah, based on the Gemara in Makos, that there are 613 different mitzvos in the Torah. So this week we actually have the privilege of reading over, since it's a double parsha, Achri Mos Kedoshim, reading over 80 mitzvos in the Torah, which I believe is the most you'll read in a single week. Ki Teitze, I think it has in the 70s, according to the count of the Rambam. So that might be the most of any single parsha, but because Achri Mos and Kedoshim come together, so you read over 80. And it seems like an appropriate week to speak about what are the purpose of mitzvos generally. That's on the one hand. And number two, really the central location in the Torah for, and the discussion in Chazal and the Mefarshim about what is the difference between Chukim and Mishpatim, and some of those differences also appear in this week's Parsha. So between the two, I thought, what better week to speak about mitzvos than this week? So we're going to speak about two sections of the Shir. Really, number one, is there a purpose of mitzvos? Do mitzvos have a purpose? And then number two, we're going to speak about what are some of the differences between chukim and mishpatim, what are chukim, and hopefully we'll close with a powerful insight from the Rav. Okay, so do mitzvos have a purpose? So if I'd ask any of you, off the bat, do you think that the 613 mitzvos have a purpose?
Sure.
Yes.
Obviously, that would be our first impression, and you know that was really the main view from the Rishonim. But it's still something that the Rishonim felt the need to discuss, because there are different Mamari Chazal that seem to maybe imply that that is not the case. Two of the more famous ones are in sources number one and sources number three, and that led to a lot of literature about these sources. What exactly do they mean? Are these good pshatim? So what we're going to do is to try and show that, again, really there are different opinions about the question, even though for us it's so basic, and to try and understand what these Mamari Chazal are telling us. So why would mitzvos be arbitrary? What is the other side? Right? It makes a lot of sense that Hashem is a divine being, so he wants to give us mitzvos to make us better, to make us better people, make us better, have better thoughts, better actions, better midos. So what is the, can anyone think of another side that, you know, mitzvos are arbitrary? Why else would we do mitzvos?
It would be just for our own. If we want to do them, then we'll get reward. If we don't want to do them, then...
So each mitzvah would be arbitrary, but there's something about doing mitzvahs that would give us reward. What would give us reward?
Doing the mitzvah. If you want a reward, do the mitzvah.
So it's like it would be a choice. Okay. Okay, so we're going to see maybe a suggestion.
If you want your allowance, cut the grass.
If you want allowance, to cut the glass. Okay. So source number one, famous Mishnah and Gemara. So the Mishnah says, in Brachos, Ha Omer Al Kan Sipor Yagiu Rachamecha Va'al Tov Yizacher Shemecha, that someone says, the Chazan gets up and says on the bird in the nest, your mercy has reached, and on your good, your name should be remembered. Modim Modim, or he says Modim twice, Mishaskinoso. So someone who says, the same way you have mercy on the mother bird by Shiluach HaKan, we make you send away the mother bird if you want to take the child, so to have mercy on us, Klal Yisrael, what do? We kick a Chazan off the Yamen. We literally silence him. The same way someone says Modim Modim twice, that if someone says thank you, implying that there's two gods, one for good, one for bad, so that we would silence such a person. So the Gemara says, later on the Yamed, Al-Kan Sipur Yagir Rachamecha, my taima. What is the reason why we will silence someone who says, you know, you give mercy to the mother bird? So the Gemara has, which is going to be important in a couple minutes, the Gemara has two opinions. Pligi ba tre amarai ba marava. Two amarai in Eretz Yisrael argued. Rav Yossi bar Avin ver Rav Yossi bar Zavida. So Chad Amar, what's the reason why this is so bad? Mimnesha matel kina b'maisa bereshis. You know, Hashem chose, for whatever reason he chose, that he's going to have mercy on the mother bird, and that the mother bird we're going to send away before taking their eggs. But what about all the other animals that Hashem did not make an obligation for? Lions and tigers and bears and omais. Like, there's no parallel mitzvah. So if we're reminding and announcing in our tefillah, Hashem have mercy on us like you have mercy on another bird, that's going to cause jealousy in creation. That's one opinion. The Chad Amar, Mipnei She'osa Midosav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachamim, the Einon Ella Gzeros, which is, this is for us the most important line from the Gemara, that you are turning, when such a Chazan says such a thing, he is turning Hashem's Midos, his characteristics, into mercy, and really, they're not mercy. They are Gzeros. What is a gzera? A decree. Hashem's mitzvos, Hashem's commandments are not about mercy. You think it's about mercy for the mother bird? No, it is a decree meant to be the way a king puts a decree on, you know, on his population. So too, Hashem has decrees that we have to listen to. So the chazan is silenced because it's totally not about mercy. Rather, it is about a decree that Hashem has imposed upon us. So if I had to ask you right now, based on the Gemara and Brachos, why did Hashem command us to send away the mother bird? The simple understanding of the Gemara. Anyone?
I always thought it's to get us to feel mercy.
Right. We'll get back to that point in a minute. But what's the simple understanding of the Gemara? That it's not about rachamim, it's about
arbitrary.
About his gzeros. Hashem gave us a decree and said, do this. Why? I don't know. But he told us to do it, and it's not about mercy. Rather, it's Hashem gave us decrees, and us as his people, us who, you know, we are under his sovereignty, so we have to listen. And that seems to be, you know, reflected in Rashi. We'll get back to Shitas Rashi in a couple minutes. But Rashi says on the Gemara in source number 2, page... Yeah, sure.
So is that like a chok?
So it might be, maybe this will be the difference between a chok and a mishpat. We'll get back to that point. It's a good question. But Rashi and it seems to be others do not seem to assume that. We assume that maybe Khan Sipur is not typically on the list of things that are chukim, but some people might think that it is a chok. Other people think that it's a mishpat. So its question is, and even the Rambam has a whole stira about it, but that's definitely a question that's lurking in the background. We'll get back to that point in a minute. But in the meantime, Rashi says in source number 2, midosav are mitzvosav, his commandments, v'hu lo l'rachamim asa, Hashem did not do them for mercy. Ela lahatil a Yisrael chukei gzerosav, to impose upon Yisrael his decrees, his laws and decrees. Why? Why did he do this? Lahodia shehem avadav v'shomrei mitzvosav v'gzerosav chukosav, to show and indicate that they are his servants and have to listen to his commandments and all of his decrees and all of his laws. Af. Even by things which the, you know, the Satan and the non-Jews are going to make mock them and make fun of them, still we have to listen. So it sounds like, again, maybe I'm playing up too much the word af, it sounds like Rashi is saying that all mitzvos seem to be about just listening to Hashem and just doing Hashem's gzeros, because that is what he told us. And that seems really to be the simple understanding of the Gemara. So do mitzvahs have a purpose according to the Gemara and Brachos? It sounds like maybe not. The purpose of each individual mitzvah is really might be arbitrary, but Hashem gave us lots of decrees to make sure that we listen to him. That's what it would seem to indicate. And there's another Mamari Chazal which seems to indicate this as well. If you look in source number 3 in Bracious Rabbah, Rav Amar, Lo nasnu ha-mitzvos ela letzarif behen es habrios. Why were we given mitzvos? It was to purify creation. It was to purify us. Basically, we, Hashem says to do something, and we listen. We are, you know, practice. We have to practice a certain way. We have to listen a certain way. We build ourselves up. We purify ourselves by listening to Hashem, no matter what He tells us. You think Hashem cares whether you shecht an animal with the knife and all the halakas from the neck, or someone who, you know, goes from the back of the neck? Hashem couldn't care less about how you kill the animal. Rather, Hashem just gave us the mitzvah of shechita and other mitzvos just to give us a way of purifying ourselves and listening to what Hashem wants. And these two sources seem to indicate to us that mitzvos, really, each individual of the individual 613 mitzvos have no purpose. And the reason why we do them is to somehow like purify ourselves and listen to Hashem's gzeiras and to be able to build ourselves up to, you know, our king imposes something on us and we have to listen and we'll get reward for listening to our king. But each individual mitzvah, what is the purpose of this mitzvah? Not so important.
How do they bring out those mitzvahs that we have in the Torah that God actually tells us what the reason is for? Like you know, something with Zecher, Siyum Mitzrayim, or, so, or Shabbos.
So that's a great question. We have to figure that out. What would they do about things that there seems to be an explicit reason in the Torah?
Yeah.
Right, no, but that's a reward, right? It's okay to get a reward, but what the mitzvah is trying to accomplish for the person, that is definitely a good question we have to hold on the back burner, but that's definitely a great question. So the Maharal in source number 4 really takes this to an extreme. So if you look at the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, Parak Vav, source number 4, Aval Divrei Chachamim Nira, She'ein Lomar Ki Mitzvos Shanasan Hashem Yisbarach B'Shvil HaMakabal Shu'a Adam. Don't think that the mitzvos that we do are for the people who do the mitzvos, namely people. It's not for them. Ra King Zeros Mitzad Hashem Yisbarach. They are just decrees from Hashem. Hagozer al Amo Zeros. He's a king. And what does a king do? He imposes on his nation decrees. Kimo Hamelech Hagozer Gzera al Amo. Afki emes ki yibashich mizeh mitzad shemekayim egzera shegazolav hatova atzlacha she'inacha recha atzlacha. Yeah, you're going to get some reward for listening to those decrees. Mikol makom ein hatchalas hagzera shenasa latov ela makaba. The beginning of the gzera, the reason why the gzera was given was not for the good of the person who was kept it. Rather, it was so Hashem could impose the decrees, and you skip down to the next bold. V'hatam bekulam. Mitzvos are not meant to benefit us in any way. Rak le'ol al ha'adam. Rather, they're supposed to be a yoke on people's neck. So approach number 1 is the approach of the Maharal, which seems to, you know, embrace these sources and say that really the reason why Hashem is giving us mitzvos is to impose us on us decrees. But like if all of us are wondering in the way that we all started, that does not seem to be the main approach amongst the Mefarshim. Question?
Why?
Why did Hashem do it?
Why impose? Why put an imposition on us?
So because Hashem is trying to reward us, that each, you know, the same way a king will impose a decree to see which one of his subjects listen. So, okay, so each one of the 613 mitzvot are a little bit arbitrary, and still we're going to do them, and if we do them, that shows our loyalty to our king. The same way that if a person, you know, will listen to that king's decree, so he knows which subjects are loyal and which are not. So what exactly the decree is, it could be, you know, eat a cupcake for me, or it could be shake a lulav for me. And if we choose to listen, so then we listen, and that shows our loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what, these sources, the Maharal is reading these sources carefully and saying, that's what these two sources sound like. That he's really at length in that piece dealing with how do we read this Gemara in Brachos. But the Gemara calls them Gzeros, right? It's not about Rachamim, it's about Gzeros. The point of the Maharal is that he's really taking these two sources at face value. And if you read them at face value, so this would be the conclusion that you reach. However, that does not seem to be the main approach of the Mefarshim. So the Rambam and the Ramban famously disagree with this type of approach, and they both have their own answers to these two Gemaras. How are we going to understand these two Gemaras? So first we're going to examine the approach of the Rambam, and then we're going to examine the approach of the Ramban. So the Rambam here is in Mor Nevuchim, which we've quoted in the past, and in Mor Nevuchim, especially in Chelek Gimel, he's very, very involved with his Taimei HaMitzvos. So he's explaining, going through all the mitzvos, trying to give them reason. Obviously, anyone who's involved in Taimei HaMitzvos and what is this mitzvah trying to accomplish must reject the face value of this Gemara, because they are assuming there are reasons behind mitzvos. Mitzvos are not arbitrary. So they're going to try and explain what is this mitzvah trying to accomplish. So in that type of framework, the Rambam discusses in source number 5, Chelek Gimel Perech Memchas. V'chein Asr Lishchot Oso Vespeno Biyomecha. There's an Isser in the Torah to shecht an animal and its child the same day. Li Shamir Laharchek Lishchot Mineim Habein Leinei Am. Ki... What?
It's
Asr. Yeah, it's Asr, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Why is it Asr? Because this is so painful to the animals. Ein hefresh bein sar adam alav v'sar shar balichov. There's no difference between the way, same way man feels pain, animals feel pain. Ki avas ha'em v'rachamel ha'avlad, inyenu nimshach achar ha'seichel, rak achar ha'poa ha'koach ha'medama ha'nimsa beruach, berov v'alichayim p'mosha nimsa v'adam. Because maternal love is not dependent on having any type of intellect. So therefore, animals feel the same maternal love that humans do. And therefore, we can't shech the mother and its child on the same day because that would be so bad. Etc. And he goes then through Shiluach HaKan, etc. But then what do you do? And he says that Shiluach HaKan, if you keep going, end of the second line, V'zehu Tam, Gam Kem B'Shiluach HaKan. Ki HaBeitzim Asher Kava Ha'im Aleihem, V'Efrokim, Srichim Le'imam Al-Rov, Inam Ru'uyim La'achila. Most of the eggs and the baby birds that you're going to take are not even fit to eat. So most of the time it's not even so bad because the animal is not the bird's not fit for eating, etc. And here's the key line. What about the Gemara? The Gemara implies that there's no reason behind Shliach HaKan, right? It's not Rachamim, it's about Zera. So the Rambam is assuming it's about Rachamim on the mother bird. How is he going to read the Gemara? So the Rambam says in the bold, Kihu lefi echas mishtej hadeos asher zechronam. If we read the Gemara carefully, there are two opinions, right? The first opinion was that it's going to impose jealousy upon my separations. The second reason was that, oh, Hashem's reason, mitzvos are not about Rachamim, they're just about decrees.
What was the first one?
That it's going to impose jealousy upon the different creations, that the birds get mercy in the sense that we'll send away the mother bird. But we don't do that for other animals. We don't do it for lions. We don't do it for tigers, right? We don't do it for dogs. But we're going to send away their mother bird, the mother dog, but if we wanted to take their animal. So it's going to impose jealousy on a creation, right? Other creatures are going to be jealous of the bird. Yeah? It's gonna if we praise Hashem for sending away the mother bird and having mercy on the bird, all the other animals are gonna be jealous of the bird, saying, "Why did you send away the mother of the bird, but not the other animals?" So the Rambam's pointing out that there are two opinions in the Gemara. Ratzon lomar das misha choshev she'ein letam letorah ela haratzon levad. The Rambam grants that there is a opinion in Chazal, in the Gemara in Brachos, who assumes that there are no reasons for mitzvos. It's just about fulfilling Hashem's will. However, the Rambam says, va'anachnu nimshachnu achar hadas hasheni. We don't hold like that opinion. So there is an opinion, there is an Amora who holds there is no reason to mitzvot besides for just listening to Hashem's will. But that is not, how does the Rambam answer that Gemara if he thinks that there is a purpose for mitzvot? He assumes that we don't hold like that opinion. The other opinion fundamentally argues and assumes that there are reasons for mitzvot, and the only reason why we silence the chazan is because he's going to impose jealousy on the mother bird. So that is how the Rambam deals with the Gemara in Brachos. So how does the Rambam understand the Medrash? So the Rambam understands the Medrash as follows. So Ella in source number 6, Chelek Gimel Perichavav. Ella Shani Matzasi Dover Lechachamim Zal. So the Rambam in Gimel Chavav is that's where he really starts to begin his discussion on Taimei HaMitzvos. And he says, I really think that there are reasons for mitzvos, but I found this Mamari Chazal. And if you first look at this Mamari Chazal, they're only about doing the commands, and that there's no clear purpose behind these mitzvos. What is that Mamari Chazal? That's what we quoted before. This Mamari Chazal is wondrous because you don't find anything like in this in Chazal. The Rambam earlier had quoted all these Mabari Chazal that seem to indicate that mitzvos do have reasons, that Shlomo HaMelech knew the reasons for almost all the mitzvos. So it sounds like that there are mitzvos behind reasons behind the mitzvos. So this Mabari Chazal really cuts against the grain. However, Pirashti Anipo Perish, Tishmeyu Ata Achlo Nitzi Mitzeder Devram Klum, Vlo Nifra Measharish Hamuskim Alav. So let me give you an explanation that will be, once you hear it, will be so clear that you'll have to agree to what I'm saying. Vu Hayos, Kol Hamitzos Bokish Behem Tachlis Mo'ila Bemitzios. That every mitzvah has a purpose. Kilo Davar Raku. V'amar, that the Dovar Reku, they're not something which are empty. V'amar lo amarti lezer Yaakov toa b'kshuni. Ani Hashem dover tzedek magen meri sharim. So, etc., etc. But basically, he goes on to continues to say that the details of the mitzvah, however, are sometimes arbitrary. That the mitzvah has a purpose, but sometimes the detail of the mitzvahs don't have purpose. And that is what the Medrash is in Bereishis Rabbah is teaching us. That even though that there's an obligation to kill it's five lines to the bottom, the Hamashabo, Shaharigos Bali Chayim, Litzorich Hamazon, Hatov Mvoreres Hatoelas Kmosha Nachnu Atinu Lavar, we kill an animal before we want to eat it. That is something which has a reason. About Amnam Hayoso Beshita, why are we shechting it with all the halachas that come with shechting? Why don't we just kill the animal? I get it that there's a reason to kill an animal before you eat it, but why did Hashem choose to specifically do a shechita, a slaughter, instead of just any other type of killing? Ubipsikas haveshes vargargeres b'makom yuchad. You have to do it in a very specific way with the two signs. Elu v'chayotzi ben letzarif esaprios. The details of the mitzvos are arbitrary, according to the Rambam. That's what he understands from the Bereishis Rabbah. So just to zoom out for a second, how does the Rambam understand these two Mamari Chazal? Number one, the Gemara in Brachos, it's going to be one opinion in the Gemara, and we hold like the other opinion. And then number two, the Rambam is going to say that what the Medrash is telling us, Letzarif Bemesaprios, it's telling you that Hashem has reasons for mitzvos. We have a reason to kill an animal before you eat it, and we're going to get to the Rambam said, I'm going to explain that later. But the details, why you do it in this specific way with the two sides and the knife and everything like that, those are arbitrary. You can't learn anything from them. Those don't necessarily have a reason. So the Rambam has to give a concession slight somewhat. That is the approach of the Rambam. The approach of the Ramban, however, the Ramban turns everything on its head. It's very, very clever. So in source number 7, you have the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, which is really part of the big discussion here. Ki kari kan tzipor lefanecha, badara p'chol etel aretz, when there is a nest of a bird before you on the way, in the tree, on the land, efrochim abeitzim, their birds or their eggs, va'im rovetas al efrochim ol abeitzim, lo si kacha im al abanim, you should not take the mother with the kid, shaleach tishalach ase'im, you should send it away, v'sabanim tikach lach, and then you should take it. Laman yitav lach. Again, parallel to keep it off aim. It should be good for you. V'harachta yamim. And your life will be lengthened. So we have a mitzvah of shiluach hakan. So a big discussion is, why are you sending away the mother bird? Does it have a reason, or is it a chok? So the Ramban in source number 8 quotes these opinion of in the first paragraph that I quoted. Quotes that the Rambam thinks that there are reasons behind mitzvos, but he's bothered by two Mamari Chazal, namely the Gemara in Brachos that we saw, and also the Bereishis Rabbah, which we saw. So if you look at the second paragraph in the Ramban in source number 8, V'zeh ha'idyon shegazer harav b'mitzvos yesh lam tam, mevuar hu b'mod, ki b'chol echa tam v'to'elos v'tikon la'adam. Let me be clear off at the beginning of things. Every mitzvah has a reason, a purpose, some type of benefit for man. Besides the reward you're going to get in Olam Haba, each mitzvah has a specific reason and goal. Sometimes we might not know the reason, and that we're going to get back to that in a couple of minutes. It's just because we have a lacking in our understanding. The Chachmei Yisrael do know the reasons behind mitzvos. You want to look at all the proofs that there are reasons behind mitzvos, so look at that Rambam that we quoted earlier in the first section. So going on to page number 3 on the top. So how do we understand the Tumah Bari Chazals for the Rabban? So he's going to explain each one of the two of them. Shiratzu lomar, she'ein to'elus, what does it mean, litzarif behem es abrios? She'ein ha'to'elus b'mitzvos l'ha'kadosh baruch hu ba'atzmo yis'ala. Mitzvos, we don't do mitzvos for the sake of God. Hashem doesn't need us to do mitzvos. Right, we don't do. There are Sifrei Chassidus who believe that the reason Tarya Gidin and that there are, you know, we do mitzvah somehow. Klapei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol. Not going to get into that right now. But the Ramban thinks that the reason we do mitzvahs is not because Hashem needs it. So why do we do mitzvahs? Avah Hatoelus BaAdam Atzmo. The purpose is for man himself. Limnoa mimenu nezek, to make sure he doesn't damage. O emuna rabba, to make sure he doesn't have bad beliefs. O mida meguna, or bad characteristics. So it's shaping who a person is. You know, it's going to shape his thoughts. It's going to shape his actions. It's going to shape his beliefs. O liskor hanisim v'niflos habori yisbarach ledasas Hashem. So exactly what we were saying before, this might be exactly what the Rambam's saying. We know that they're mitzvos that are going to be zecher letzias Mitzrayim, or for a specific purpose that says in the Torah. And it's supposed to help you remember Hashem. If you remember yetzias Mitzrayim, you remember that Hashem, you know, has hashgacha, and Hashem took care of Klal Yisrael. So simply, that is what the purpose of mitzvos. Every single mitzvah has a reason, a purpose. It's trying to, but it's focused not on a Kaddish Baruch, it is focused on man. And he says that's exactly what the Medrash means in Bereishis Rabbah. He flips everything on its head. It's a proof to what he's saying. V'zehu letzarif behem. That's what it means, letzarif. What is it, letzarif? Shiyu kekesef sorif. Ki atzorif kesef ein maseyu belotam. That someone who, like a blacksmith who deals with silver, what is he doing? He's purifying the silver that he's dealing with, right? He makes it better. He improves it. Letzarif behenas abrios thus means to really make us better through the mitzvos. How are we going to do that? We're going to have mitzvos like tzedakah that give, you know, make us a more giving person. And we're going to have mitzvos like remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, because that's going to help us realize that Hashem, you know, we have to have emunah and hashkacha, etc. So all the mitzvos have a purpose. And that is how the Ramban deals with Bereishis Rabbah. So we skip down a lot of paragraphs. One paragraph from the bottom of source number 8. How does he deal with the concept lo yagi rachamecha gemara? V'chein ma she'amru lefisha osa midosov shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachmim ve'inan elegzeros lomar shelo chas hakel al concept v'lo higio rachamav al osov espino. Don't think, what is the gemara telling us? Don't think that the purpose of Shiluach HaKan is mercy on the bird. Don't think it's mercy on the bird. And similarly, Osov Espino, don't think the mercy is for the animal, for the poor mother who has to see their kid shechted. That is not why Hashem gave us those mitzvahs. She'ein rachamav magin bebali nefesh habahamis limno osonu milasu behem sarkenu. Hashem's mercy is not for the animals that to prevent us from doing our will with them. Because you know, if Hashem really wanted to have mercy on the animals, what should he do? How are we allowed to eat animals? Hashem should say, get rid of shechita, no killing animals, don't touch them, and then we'll have great mercy on animals. Sure, you know, I'll have mercy on you. I'll make sure your kid's taken. You know, imagine a conversation with Hashem and the mother bird. Hashem goes to the mother bird, I'm going to have mercy on you. So you won't have to see your kid be taken, but you'll never see your kid again. That's mercy? You want to make sure they're mercy? Make sure the human, the Jew, doesn't take the mother bird. It's not kosher. He can't eat it. Only have vegetables. You know, like it was by Adam Arishon. So if Hashem is allowing us to eat animals, it is clear that the mercy is not directed towards the animals, and we're really able to do with what we want. Granted, there's still Tsar Bali Chaim, etc., and he's going to get into that. But really, the purpose of Shiluach HaKain is not for the animal, and that's what the Gemara meant. Avahatam hamaniya lelamid osanu midas harachmanus v'shalonis achzer. It's not for the mother bird to have mercy on the mother bird. It's for the human. That when the human takes food, he should not be someone who is cruel. He should be someone who has mercy. It would be cruel to take the child from the mother, in front of the mother without sending the mother away. It would be cruel to shech the mother and the kid on the same day. That is something for which would be cruel, and it would build in the person the midos of being someone who is an achsari, someone who is cruel. So instead, Hashem does it not for the mother bird, but for the human. He's going to tell him to shech to send away the mother bird, and he goes on for the Achsarias. So how does the Ramban deal with the two questions? Litzarif Bahenas Abrios for the Ramban is meant to purify the person by and that really mitzvahs have reasons, and maybe even the details of mitzvahs might have reasons according to the Ramban. But what the mitzvahs are going to accomplish, they're going to purify, the way you purify metal, so too Hashem is purifying us through mitzvahs, that each mitzvah is supposed to help us with a belief, or a midah, or our actions, to make us better people. Similarly, how is he going to understand the Gemara in Brachos, which seems to indicate that mitzvahs are just zeros? He's going to say, what does it mean it's not rachamim? It's not rachamim towards the bird. It's really meant for the Xeros towards the people, to the Jews, to be able to uplift ourselves, to uplift who we are, to not be cruel, and that is the purpose of the mitzvahs. So, according to both the Rambam and the Ramban, they're starkly rejecting what the Maharal was saying before. Mitzvahs have reasons. Mitzvahs have purpose. Every single one is going to have a mitzvah and going to have a purpose. And again, the Ramban, the Rambam in Gimel Lamed Aleph in source number 9 outlines three purposes to mitzvahs. The Ramban has more, but if you look on page number 4 on the top in the bold, Hakol Nitla B'Shlosha Dvarim, Bedeos, things we think, Vamidos, our characteristics, Uvamaisa Anhaga Hamedinis, or having, you know, a society being able to deal with one another. You could put all mitzvos in those three categories, and he's going to be doing that over the next bunch of prakim in Mor Nevuchim. So to summarize what we've seen right now, we've seen two gemaras which seem to indicate that mitzvos have no reasons, and we just do them to fulfill Hashem's will, which the Maharal really buys into in Tiferes Yisrael, and the Rambam and the Ramban both give their answers rejecting him and saying, no. Mitzvos have reasons, mitzvos have a purpose, they're going to improve midos, beliefs, and societal impact. That's where the first section of this year.
Does the Maharal explain why he doesn't really go with the Rambam?
He has a long discussion. If you look in Tiferes Yisrael, he doesn't like either one of the reads in the Gemara. Especially in the Gemara and Brachos, like he very much doesn't like their reads. I don't necessarily agree with all his points, but you can look in. It's like, I'd say like 8 paragraphs long, probably like 2-3 pages on Microsoft Word. So I figured already my source sheet's already at 7 pages. So, but over there, if you look, the Maharal has in Tiferes Yisrael paragraph. So he has a discussion exactly about why he doesn't like the Rambam, why he doesn't like the Ramban, and that's the advantage of coming later. You get the last word, but etc. Okay, so now we're going to transition into the difference between chukim and mishpatim. So you have to be very careful by chukim. And I think that's part of what I'm trying to outlay. What exactly are chukim and what are mishpatim? So if I asked any of you, anyone want to try and guess? Now you're like all scared because I said I might try and correct you. But what are chukim and what are mishpatim? Anyone? Great. So you were very careful with your first formulation. Would you like to expand on it or no?
Come on, you're the attorney here.
You can tell he's very sensitive to language. Okay, so what exactly are chukim? So if you look at Vayikra, Yurches, Psukim Aleph, Dehei, right before the Arayos, we really get where the Mamari Chazal and Yuma, which we're about to see, explains what the difference between chukim and mishpatim are. So the Torah says in source number 10, I am Hashem your God. Don't do like the actions of the land of Egypt that you dwelled in. Also don't do like the actions of the people of the land of Canaan. Don't follow in their ways, etc. And then in sources and Dalet Hay, you should do my mishpatim, and you should guard my chukim to go in their ways. I am Hashem your God. There is so much to unpack in this psukim, but for our purposes, we see two types of mitzvot being described in Psukim Dalet and Hay. We have mishpatim and chukim. And if you notice, there's actually a change in the order. In Pasuk Dalet, it says, Esmishpatai tasu veschukosai tishmaru. And then in Pasuk Hei, it says, Ushmartim eschukosai vismishpatai asher yasem. So first, in Pasuk Dalet, first mishpatim come first, and then chukim. In Pasuk Hei, first chukim, then mishpatim. Is that a crucial difference? We'll have to see. But we were left wondering what exactly is a chuk and what exactly is a mishpat. So if you look in source number 11, Gemara and Yuma, Samach Zayin and Beis, Tana Rabbanan, as mishpatai tasu, dvarim shel mali nichtavu dinhu sheichtavu. Things that if they were not written, even if they weren't written in the Torah, it's like they were written. We don't really need them to be written because they're so obvious to us. Ve'elu hein. What are they? Avodah zara. That makes sense. Gilo erayos. You know, forbidden relations. Makes sense. Tzvichas damim. Killing. Makes sense. Gezel. Stealing. Birchas Hashem. And cursing God. So all these things, they're logical. So even if the Torah didn't say them, you would know them, you would intuit. You know, it's not a good idea to kill another human being. That, you know, that's pretty self-evident. So that is the definition of mishpatim, things that even if the Torah did not say, you would know them themselves. Without the Torah. Ve'eschukasai tishmeru. So dvarim sha'satan v'umos ha'olam ha'shivan alim. So these are the things that the non-Jews and the Satan mock us about. The Elohim, what are some of the examples? Achilas chazer, eating pig, pork, levisha shatnes, we're not wearing wool and linen, v'chalitas yavama, you know, so you're spitting in a shoe, like why are you spitting in a shoe? Taras mitzora, v'sarir ha-mishtalech, and sent, you know, the whole, which was almost the topic of today, sarir ha-mishtalech, that's the beginning of Achrimos, and the whole Avodas Yom Kippurim. But those are all examples of chukim. So what's the way that they describe chukim? Things that all the Gemara says is that the Satan and Umos Ha'olam mock us. Why do they mock us? Does Gemara say? No, right? The Gemara doesn't explain what exactly they're mocking us about. Obviously, their reason they seem a little more obscure. Like, you wouldn't intuit these things earlier. Because the contrast is, mishpatim you would know even without the Torah. Chukim, you need the Torah for. So their reasons, you wouldn't intuit yourself, but does it mean that they have a reason? Do they not have a reason? Do chukim have a reason? Right? It's a little bit unclear from the Gemara. The mishpatim, you know, it makes a lot of sense that they're logical. Chukim, on the other hand, do not seem logical, but is there a logic to them? Or is there not a logic to them? Is there a reason for chukim? Vishema tomar maisa toahim. You might say they're completely ridiculous. Talmud lomar ani Hashem. So we might think they're totally ridiculous. Why am I doing these things? So the Torah says, ani Hashem, I am God. Ani Hashem chikaktiv. I enacted them. Ve'in lecha reshus laharaban. You have no permission to question them. So we have to keep the chukim even though they're not logical. So what is our definition of mishpatim and what is our definition of chukim? We're going to give three different definitions of chukim. So, you know, I was giving Mr. Margulies a hard time a minute ago, but it's important to try and figure out what exactly is a chuk. So the Gemara, Rashi explains, what are mishpatim? On the Gemara, mashma dvarim ham yusharim, vadin nosim lasoso. Very logical, everyone agrees, no one has any problems. But a chuk, mashma she'enu ella Gzeiras Melech. It is a decree of the king. That sounds familiar, because wasn't that what we were just talking about a second ago? So Rashi, what is Rashi telling you here, that they're Gzeiras Melech? So it could be that Rashi means they're decrees of a king with a reason, but we know the other Rashi in Brachos would seem to indicate maybe Chukim might not have a reason. And then there's another Rashi, which also is in this week's Parsha, and this is why I meant before when I started, that this week's Parsha is really the Parsha of Chukim. Because, again, this Gemara on Yom HaZayin, Samach Zayin, the Gemara about Chukim, is in this week's Parsha. And similarly, in source number 13, and a comment of Rashi, which sparked a lot of debate, is also in this week's Parsha. So if you look at source number 13, which is also what the Shir was about today, again, there's so much to choose in these Parshas. Source number 13, Vayikra Yotas Yotas, Eschukosai Tishmoru Behem Techa Lo Sarbiya Kulayim, Sarcha Lo Sizra Kulayim, Uveliged Kalayim Shatnez Lo Yala Alecha. So we have three Yisurim that are mentioned. Again, not putting animals together, not planting things together, different species, and also not wearing shatnez. And the way that the Torah introduces those three things are eschukosai tishmoro. So what is a chok? A chok is a mitzvah with a reason or a mitzvah without a reason? Like, the reason is not, we can't think of it, it's not obvious, or is there no reason whatsoever? Also, again, just a side note, like, are all these three things really going to be chukim? Right? I can come up with pretty good reasons, which the Mefarshim do, for why would we not crossbreed, right? If you're going to make a mule, you're tinkering with Mysa Bracius, that seems to be something which is pretty logical not to do that. Like, you're messing up the animal species, you're causing it to go, you know, you're going to have these animals die, they're going to have another species which is not what Hashem created. There are a lot of reasons, so some of the Mefarshim are actually distinguished between different one of these three. That was just a side note. But Rashi in source number 14 has this definition. And if you notice, there really is going to be a theme in Rashi. It's chukah sai tishmeru, the elo hand behem techadlo serbira kolayim vigomer, chukum elu gzeiras melech, and he could have just stopped. He could have just said, chukim are a decree of the king, she'ein tam ladover. What does that mean?
I don't know why.
So, do we not know why? Is that what he means? What she'ein tam ladover?
There's not a reason.
There's no reason. Not that we don't know why, because if we knew why, if we don't know why, that implies there is a reason, we just don't know it. But She'ein Tam Ladavar implies that there's no reason whatsoever. Rashi sounds like, again, if you look back at all the Rashis that we've done over the course of the day, there's been three Rashis, and they really all seem to indicate that Rashi thinks that maybe Mishpatim might have reasons, maybe, that's a little bit unclear in Rashi, but for sure Chukim do not have reasons. Chukim are just Gzeros Melech, She'ein Tam Ladavar. There is no rhyme, no reason. So when we translate chukim, according to Rashi, definition number one, chukim are mitzvos which don't have a reason. What the Maharal was talking about before of just having zeros, so maybe you would distinguish that chukim are going to be just zeros and we're doing whatever Hashem wants us to do, but maybe mishpatim are not. But again, that question for Rashi we'll leave to the side for now. But either way, definition number one for what chukim are we, that these are mitzvos that have no reason. The Ramban, however, in source number two, does not like that. Yeah.
The decrees.
They're just decrees that have no reason. The only reason we do them is because God imposed them upon us, but they're arbitrary.
What about reading it very, very carefully?
Okay.
Rashi says, Chukim elu zeros hamelech. Maybe he's
saying just kilayim.
These kilayim.
Okay, it could be, but then why would these three be of all the myths?
Say because they all occur in nature by themselves.
Okay, it's just a little hard, especially because as I noted before, that all the other mefarshim assume that kilayim, for the most part, maybe shatnes more than the others, but for sure kilayim are not going to be chukim. So, like, of all the mitzvos, Rashi chose the mitzvos, which people get upset for him at calling a chok. Again, the Gemara in Yuma only called Levisha Shatnes a chok. He did not call crossbreeding a chok, because crossbreeding has a lot of reasons that you could come up with. Again, the Mefarshim should come up with three or four reasons behind that. So it'd be really strange that Rashi would say, these are the only chukim that don't have a reason. I find that a little bit hard. Either way, the Ramban understands Rashi the way that I just did. And he gets upset at him. And he says, source number 15, the Ein HaKavana Behem Sheti Agzeres Melech Mochem Lachem B'Shum Makom B'Lotam. There is no decree from Hashem. Again, the Rabban's very consistent. There's no decree from Hashem in the world of the 613 that does not have a reason. Ki Kol Amarta Elokat Rufa. Rak HaChukim Heim Agzeres HaMelech Asher Yachuk B'Melchoso B'li Sheyigal To'alosam La'am. What are Chukim? These are decrees that Hashem gives us that have a reason, but the king doesn't share the reason. He doesn't reveal the purpose to the nation. I want you to do this, and there's a good reason behind it, but I'm not going to tell you what the reason is. The Ein Ha'am Nenin Behem, there's no clear benefit to them, like pushing a goat off a cliff. Ava Maharin Acharei, and believe them, they might even question it in their hearts. U'mekavlam Osam Liyuras Hamalchus, and you have to accept it out of fear of the king. The nation's not going to benefit from chukim the same way, like mishpatim. Aval kulam betam nachun v'toela shleima. The Ramban says, no, Rashi. Chukim have reasons. It's just we don't know what that reason is. They obviously have a purpose. And we won't read inside. The Rambam also, in Gimel Chavav, in source number 16, agrees with the Ramban that chukim are examples of mitzvos that are, we don't know the reason, but there are a reason. So the Rambam and the Ramban are consistent all the way through. Every single mitzvah in the Torah has a reason to it. We might not understand what that reason is, but they definitely have a reason. So that is definition number two of a chok. So far we have Rashi, who tells me that it's a mitzvah without a reason, and then we have the Ramban and the Rambam, who are telling us it's a mitzvah with a reason that we don't understand, which I think is the typical definition. But the Netziv in source number 17, and also in the Haggadah, points out that even though chok could mean what the Ramban and the Rambam just said, there are times that it does not mean that. We noted before that our Parsha switched the order. Originally it said Mishpatim and Chukim, and then says Chukim and Mishpatim. And for the Netziv, that is actually a crucial distinction. So the Netziv says in source number 17, "Dehasha anu regilim lefarish al pi haTorah kahanim veGemara yuma hanal mishpatim mitzvot sheyes behem tam." We normally say mishpatim are mitzvot with a reason. V'chukim mitzvot sheyasatan mashiv aleihem. So that definition is only true ze'eino ella b'makom dechsev mishpatim v'chukim. That is only true when it says mishpatim before chukim, because first the Torah is going to put mitzvot that have a reason, and then the Torah is going to put mitzvot that don't have a reason. Aval b'chol makom dechsev chukim v'mishpatim. Anytime the Torah is going to tell me chukim first, then mishpatim. Again, he has a bunch of examples in this piece throughout Torah, especially in Sefer Dvarim. Ein hamashmos came. That's not what chukim and mishpatim mean. Lahaktim mitzvot she'in behem tam liyesh behem tam. Why would the Torah put mitzvot that don't have a reason before the mitzvot that do have a reason? Ela ikar hapirish kumavur b'sefri Dvarim. Ubraisa achas hu v'kdushin d'labazayit. Ela hachukim elu hamidrashos. Chukim are midrashos. The hamishpatim elu hadinim. So what does that mean? Here's the klal for the Netziv. Perish. Chukim heigma midos shatorah nechkachas behem eich lidros ulohotzi midiyuk hamikra halacho shalonis parshu. The Torah gave us tools. You know, we say it every day. The yid gimel midos that are of Rabbi Yishmael. The Torah kavachomer, zereshava, you know, klaloprat, etc. The Torah gave us rules and tools to be able to darshan out how exactly to learn things out that are not so clear from the Torah. We'll have Gzeirah Shavos, we'll make Kavah Chomers, etc. That is one definition of Chukim. When Chukim comes before Mishpatim, according to Netziv, Chukim are a reference to the tools that man has to darshan out the Psukim. V'hachi darshinim b'krisos, etc. V'hamishpatim elu hadinim shenachru al pi haChukim. And Mishpatim are the laws that are learned out through the drushos that we have. So you're going to learn out a Gzeirah Shavah, you're going to learn out a Klal Prat, so that's the tool is a chok, and the Mishpat is what's learned through the tool. And that's why it's going to say the chukim before the Mishpatim, because first you need the tool, and only then you're going to learn out the Mishpat. And he says that's pshat in the Seder, that the Seder, the Chacham says, Ma'idos Hachukim v'mishpatim, right? So why does he go in the other order? And what's he also asking about chukim and mishpatim? So he says that he wants to know all the different types of Torah, the edos, which are the straightforward Torahs, the chukim, which are the different drushos and how to do it, and the mishpatim are all the drushos that come out of it. And again, he goes on to explain exactly all the chacham's question. But either way, we've seen three definitions of chukim so far. Number one, it is going to be something which is does not have a reason. That's Rashi, the Ramban, and the Rambam, who assume that Chukim and Mishpatim, that they do have a reason, it's just that we don't know it. And finally, in the Netziv, that sometimes it means the Yud Gimel Midos, we'll call them the tools that we use to darshan the Torah, and Mishpatim are the rules that you learn out from them.
So how does he explain various Mamorei Chazal and say, Shatness is a
cult? So he agrees. To make it clear, the Netziv agrees that when Mishpatim come before Chukim, that there's different meanings of the words. Mishpatim before Chukim, that means exactly what the Mamorei Chazal says, which is that a mishpat is something which has an apparent reason, the chok, however you're going to take it. But when chukim come before mishpatim, why switch the order? It also is not a logical order. You put the mitzvot that have clear reasons before the mitzvot that don't. So he says when chukim precede mishpatim, that's when chukim are referring to the tools to learn things out, and mishpatim are what you learn out from them. That's what the Netziv says. So we've seen a lot about different mitzvot, and just three sources to leave you with about them. So there's a Rambam at the end of Hilchos Me'ilah who cares that there are lots of mitzvos and that there are reasons for mitzvos? How does that impact me? Right? How they're not, it's so nice. Right? The mitzvot have reasons and there's a purpose. So the Rambam says in source number 18, Rai la adam lehizbonim b'mishpatei ha-Torah ha-kdusha v'leida sof inyanim kifi kocho. Each one of us has an obligation or it's fit, it's appropriate for him to try and figure out what are the reasons behind the mitzvot. And the Rav says in one of his pieces, quoted in Reflections of the Rav, by Rav Bezdin, that it actually, it's meritorious, it's beneficial, it'll give the mitzvah even more meaning if you learn about the mitzvah. Right? It's obviously influenced by this Rambam, that it's important to try and, if there is a reason for mitzvos, so then, even for the chukim, even for the mishpatim, and the Rav says, even for chukim, you're supposed to try and figure out what the reason is, and some type of reason and thought, how this is going to affect me, how I'm going to take this, I'm sorry I don't have the quote here, because it's a much better quote than the way I'm going to say, but how this reason and what this mitzvah's message is going to do for my avodas Hashem, where does this fit in my framework, how am I going to build on myself through this mitzvah, even chukim the Rambam is talking about. V'davar shelo yimatze lo tam, and something that you don't find a reason for, the Rambam continues, v'lo yadolo ilo el al yehi kal be'inav. But don't just say, oh, it's, you know, because it's, I don't know the reason, I can't do it, it should be light in my eyes, etc. And skip a couple lines, Yisroel speaks about me'ila, etc. Kavachon la mitzvah, four lines in. Kavachon la mitzvah shechakak lano kadosh baruch hu shelo yibayit ha'adam nei shelo yado tam. You shouldn't kick away the mitzvahs just because you don't know the reasons. V'lo yichapa dvar masher lo kein al Hashem v'lo yoyachshe behen machshavto k'divrei chol. Because Hashem tells you, again, he goes on, that you have to do all the mitzvahs, whether you understand them or not. But the Rambam's saying that we should try and understand the reason behind the mitzvahs, even the chukim. But even if you don't understand them, it's still important that you think this just as important, and you don't kick them to the side. The Rambam in source number 19 on page number 6 has a famous discussion about, we won't read it inside for right now, a famous stira between the philosophers and Chazal. So most people wouldn't ask a stira between philosophers and Chazal, but the Rambam really liked Aristotle. And on the one hand, the philosophers say that it's what's better? Someone who says, I have no desire to do this mitzvah, but I'm going to do it anyway. Or to do this avera, and I'm not going to... Sorry. If there's an avera that a person can do, right? What's better? There's pork in front of you. Okay, there's pork. So what's better? Someone who says, I don't want the pork at all? Or is it better for someone to say, I want the pork, but what can I do? Hashem told me not to do it. Which one is better in their avodas Hashem? Is it better to not want something? Or is it better to want something and say you're not going to do it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the philosophers thought that that the me'ula is better, that someone who doesn't even want it, that's better. Chazal seemed to indicate that someone who wants it but says, what can I do because Hashem told me no, he's better. So the Rambam says, which one is it? Which one is it? And the way he solves the stira is through chukim versus mishpatim. That there's a difference between mishpatim and chukim. Something which is a mishpat, something which is a chok, again, he has a different term, he calls it mitzvah sasichlio, something which is logical. So, you shouldn't even want to do it. You want to kill someone and you can't do it because Hashem told you? No, that's not a good thing. Right? Mitzvahs which are logical, mitzvahs which are mishpatim, those you shouldn't even want to do. And that's pshat in the philosophers. And pshat in Chazal, and if you look at the examples that Chazal give, they're all chukim, that they're talking about chukim. That mitzvahs which are chukim, you should not even want to do. Sorry, you should want to do them, but not do them anyway because Hashem told you. And those are called mitzvos Hashemios. So that's the way that the Rambam solves that stira, namely that when it comes to chukim, you should want to do them, but choose not to because Hashem told you. And mitzvos which are mishpatim, you shouldn't even want to do. And that, again, it's a great piece. You should read it inside, but we don't have enough time. Source number 19 in Shmona Prakim, Perek Vav, which is his commentary on the introduction, his introduction to Perkei Avos. So finally, I just want to end with a piece from the Rav. So the Rav says, again, a reflection in the book Reflections of the Rav, this is actually, I copied it though from the Chumash of the Rav, because the Reflections of the Rav is a little bit longer, the Chumash of the Rav summarized a little bit. So in source number 20, the Chok may be said to possess two characteristics. The first is its universal immutability. The fact that a chok is independent of situational factors, changing philosophies and ideologies, or shifting practical and economic conditions. All these have no effect on or bearing on a chok, which pertains and retains its value under all circumstances at all times and everywhere. By definition, a chok is not based on our logic. And if a chok is not based on our logic, so then it applies in every door, no matter what everything is. And similarly, the second characteristic of the chok is its incomprehensibility. It demands the surrender of one's mind and the suspension of one's thinking. It is a total commitment precisely because it requires an abdication of one's reason. The reason for the chok remains a mystery. Indeed, the chok is often contested by one's thinking mind. Although man is a rational being, the chok demands that he violates his reason. So skip down to the next paragraph, and to skip a paragraph. We perform all mishpatim in the same manner as the chukim. Again, he says the chuk has two characteristics. One, we're not supposed to we're not going to understand it, and two, that it exists for all in all generations, no matter the time or conditions. But he says, and this is a chiddush, that we should perform all mishpatim in the same manner as the chukim. The Torah does not assign separate sections to the chukim mishpatim. They're not two Torahs, one of chukim and one mishpatim. They are interspersed throughout Scripture. We make no distinctions between the two in the quality and the totality of our commitment. In our modern world, there is hardly a mishpat which has not been repudiated. Stealing and corruption are the accepted norms in many spheres of life. Adultery and general promiscuity find support in respectable circles. And even murder, medical and germ experiments have been conducted with governmental complicity. Just think about it in television, right? In the 50s, my dad tells me, there wouldn't even be a woman in the same bed as a man, right? The fiber and the morals of society have totally changed. Well, we won't even note the example. It's very interesting that from the reflections of the Rav pieces from in the 80s or the 90s, and the Chumash of the Rav was in the 2010s, and they took out examples that the Rav wrote. Like, for example, he was speaking about abortion, things like that, and they took it out. I don't know if they took it out because, again, to shorten it, but things change, and it's something which is, a value at one point. It's like, oh, all the world can agree on this value as a mishpat, but things change. And therefore, he ends it off, the Torah therefore insists that a mishpat be accepted as a chok. Our commitment must be unshakable, universally applicable, and upheld even when our logos is confused. Without chok, every social and moral law can be rationalized away, leaving the world a sophisticated jungle of instincts and impulses. Even a mishpat can only endure when it is sustained by an unmotivated commitment which is impervious to confusing circumstances. So for the Rav, we have to treat every mishpat. And we have a dialectic, actually, according to the two Ravs that we quoted. On the one hand, we're supposed to examine what we're trying to do, and explain each mitzvah. How am I going to incorporate it in my Avodas Hashem? And that applies even to chukim. We're going to treat like mishpatim. We're going to try and figure out why we're doing this. How is this making me a better person? But at the same time, we also have to treat every mishpat like a chok. We have to be able to say that this value doesn't matter if this is no longer a value. And even if people are killing, and even if the world is, is filled with promiscuity, either way, that we have to treat as a chok and keep all tayag mitzvos. No matter the olam vaed, b'mhira b'einu, we should have Mashiach, and our values should be, clear which ones are chukim and which ones are mishpatim.